Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raph on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smarky Las Filipinas podcast.
You are listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the WWE Women's Champion Charlotte shout outed.
Hey!
SGP podcast.
Shout it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout it out.
Or shout outed. Actually, I have no idea. I don't care because Charlotte gave us a shout out. She said our names, and that is enough to make my day.
What do you have? Other wrestling podcasts that are not cheap, cheap heat.
Yeah. Hell, we beat the Ringer Wrestling Podcast this week on that front alone.
Indeed. Wait. Does that really count? Because you know, David Shoemaker has talked to actual WWE wrestlers.
Actually, yeah. Well, I've talked to Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, sure. But not on official podcast business.
Fine. Fine.
But what do you have, other people?
Yes.
Charlotte said our names individually.
Yes. Should I actually share the story of how this came to be?
Sige na.
Sure. So, as you know, Mellow 94.7 is a proud radio partner of WWE Live in Manila. And I was supposed to have an interview with either Charlotte, Xavier Woods, or Kofi Kingston. Now, they suddenly pulled out and said, nah, it's going to be a canned interview. And then they asked me if I had any shout-outs I wanted. So I'm like, okay, sure. So I write a script for Mello. And then I think to myself, puta, gagawa na lang ng script for Mello. Tuhugin ko na, di ba? Might as well include the SGP podcast request and let's see if they actually pay enough attention to notice. So the emails come in. I still don't have the interviews right now, which is why the interview I promised last week is not going to be on this episode. But I did get the Mello shout out. And like an hour later, I get a ping on my inbox and it says, Charlotte, SGP podcast. So I give it a listen. Lo and behold, the shout out that you heard at the top of the episode.
The shout out you don't have.
Yeah. So I guess once again, it goes to show that, you know, all you need to do is ask. Sometimes all you really need to do is ask.
No. Let's be fair. Because sometimes you can't just ask it. You need to be in a position to ask and realistically get it.
Yeah, actually.
Get what you want.
Like, you can't just ask people for free shit.
Oh, exactly. This is what you've been ranting about before.
That's my pet peeve.
Oh.
When people just ask
me
for freebies.
You can't just ask.
But yeah, you have to put in the work. Yes, yes. You have to be prudent about it. And I guess I was just prudent about it. Makapal din yung mukha ko.
No. Everything fell in our lap, and then all you had to do was ask.
Yeah,
that's enough. I mean, you happen to be media partners for WWE Live in Manila. WWE happened to be coming here,
yep.
And they happened to be sending out people for media interviews.
Yeah, so there.
So everything fell in place.
And then
you don't have a shout out.
Anyway, this is us basically cutting a heel promo on you, but I think this week there was no bigger heel than one Kevin Durant. We don't need to go into the specifics. We wish Camus were
Camus,
here.
For Camus, he's on a heel.
Yeah, for Camus, not for Camus.
And for you, he's on a heel. For me, he's on a heel.
I don't get why people are crying foul this much, though. Like, I really don't get it. Because he didn't make as big of a deal out of it as LeBron did in 2010. Right? And we all know how hard it is to chase a ring, especially in the 2010s NBA. Mm. So if a guy wants to make money and be successful in his profession at the same time and take the easiest path to do so, who are we to judge him?
Mm.
Really, who are we to judge him?
You would do the same. Because assuming your main end game is to win a ring.
Yeah.
If you just want to, you know, make money being a professional basketball player, that's fine. Okay lang. That's also not something to judge.
Yeah.
But if you want to win a ring, you kind of want to do it in the easiest way possible. Especially if you've been toiling most of your career in a team that hasn't quite gotten there yet.
And it didn't help because over the last 9 years, the Oklahoma City management didn't do the best job in constructing the best team around Durant. The Harden trade from 2012 still looms over their shoulder, and you think their GM, Sam Presti, tried to undo that damage over the last 4 years, culminating in the Ibaka trade.
Mm.
But by then, it was too little too late. Mm. So this is the question I want to ask to everybody who's bitching about Kevin Durant. When's the last time you made it harder for yourself to succeed in your line of work? When's the last time you chose to take a pay cut and you know, choose the harder path to success.
What is success anyway? You know?
Yeah, in my line of work,
what is success?
Success is getting as much as I can, as in my paycheck, and getting into prime time.
Like, Ikaw, would you want to move to a smaller radio station, for example, and be the biggest name there, even though you know you would have like a smaller share of the market?
Probably not.
See?
Because my definition of success will be reach naman. As I stand right now, I have a certain reach, and if I move to someplace with a smaller reach, that's not success. That's not the success I value.
You want to be part of a bigger, you know, eventually, one day.
Yeah.
If you can't make this place bigger, then you want to be part of something bigger.
Kind of like in your case, now you are a writer at heart, and you edit. But if you were to move someplace else where you're not able to access to use
you're
your
about
talents,
me. You're about
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I'm talking about you, where you're not able to use your talents properly and make the best case for yourself, you're not going to make that move either, because that's counterproductive. And you know, frankly, that's pretty stupid. So,
I think it's also I think the whole bitching and moaning from fans is also a product of what generation we're in right now, what era we're in right now. We're in the social media era, so everyone has an opinion, even though a lot of those opinions are unqualified and, you know, uninformed, misinformed maybe, and largely irrelevant. So if this happened like at least 10 years ago or 20 years ago, what was the equivalent of this 10 years ago?
The equivalent,
I would say Karl Malone and Gary Payton.
Kung 10 years ago, yeah, probably. Malone and Gary Payton. Back then, they didn't get a lot of shit, eh. Naawa yung mga tao sa kanila, especially Malone.
They were in, forever losers, right?
Yes, 18 years si Karl Malone with the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
And then Gary Payton
and getting his ass kicked by Jordan.
Yeah, Gary Payton had 13 years of getting
Sonics,
his ass kicked by Jordan. The Sonics, the Celtics, and the Milwaukee Bucks. So by then, people hated the Lakers as a whole, but not Malone and Payton for being ring chasers.
No, So why is it different then for people, you know, to look at Kevin Durant and not feel sorry for him? Because, he's been getting his ass kicked his entire career in the Thunder.
I think it's because they hold him to a higher standard because he's like one of the top three players in the league. Like the arguments I'm getting is we have to hold him to a higher standard because he's our hero and because he's so damn good. And people forget somebody like Andre Iguodala, for example, defected from Denver to Golden State right after he got eliminated by Golden State. And then the counter argument is, but Iggy's not as big a name. And to that I say, you're holding Durant to a higher standard, which he might not even possibly fulfill. Like, you're setting yourself up for disappointment because you're exalting your hero to these heights.
And if the front office can't fix things for his team, then who is he to sit around waiting for the front office to get his shit together?
See, this is why people don't realize na the offseason of 2016 was very much anticipated because this was the one summer when Kevin Durant could make a move like this. The Warriors were planning for this as early as 2 years ago, and so were so many other teams. Like, they really cleared cap space. The Wizards tried to do this, but they were such jabronis in the process that they were out of the discussion before it even began.
And that one makes sense because Durant wants a championship team, not something that he has to build himself. From scratch, diba? It's not supposed to be his job to build a championship team and carry it on his back. It's supposed to be the front office's job.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the front office's job. And he made that move for himself because he's looking out for number one. He's at a place in his career where he wants to win a championship in his prime. And if that has to, it has to be via being with the Warriors, with Steph Curry and Thompson, then that's his decision. And, none of us really should be this affected. But what really gets me is how a lot of these wrestling memes have come out once again. Like, for the last few years, every time something this big happens in the world of basketball or other sports for that matter, wrestling just keeps getting brought up. I saw the Shield meme, which is really funny. I loved it.
Guys, ano pala, on this note, sorry na lang sa Miami. Sorry, Miami.
Right, yeah, because D-Wade is now with your Bulls.
Yeah.
And Al Horford is with my Celtics.
That. Jesus Christ.
Both are confirmed. Yeah. Really crazy.
Who else did you get? No, you also got Anna. Who else did you get?
Al Horford.
Siya pa lang?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there was one
and
more.
And some rookies.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm fine with that. Because the Horford move was supposed to have been for Durant then.
Yeah.
So that was something to lure Kevin Durant in. That didn't happen.
To Boston.
Yeah, but I'm fine with Horford and Isaiah. Oh, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. Durant is in the West. So
you're not missing Rondo at all.
Not missing Rondo at all.
Isaiah Thomas na pala kayo.
Exactly. So you have these memes, right? You have the Shield meme. You have all these people comparing Kevin Durant to Hulk Hogan joining the New World Order. And it just really surprises me whenever something big like this happens, people immediately turn to wrestling.
Mm.
It's funny because wrestling...
Are we sure that people turn to wrestling or wrestling fans turn to wrestling?
I don't know, because I've been getting notifs on my Facebook from people who aren't necessarily wrestling fans, but they share this meme that they totally understand because tinapalan ng mukha ni na Kevin Durant yung mukha ni na Seth Rollins. So I guess the point I'm trying to get at is, has wrestling really maxed out its potential in narrative or in storytelling? Now people understand, even though they don't watch the product, they know that a turn is taking place, or that they can easily reference it as a point of comparison.
Sure. I think it's also because of easy visual cues you can pick up from the meme. Because obviously body language for one, attire.
Yeah,
they all wear the same thing, and one of them is turning on the other two who are wearing the same thing.
Yeah,
and well, context clues, right?
Yeah, context clues. It's really just so amusing to me. Nah, I guess pro wrestling has permeated pop culture, which has always been the goal. Pro wrestling and pop culture have always had a very symbiotic relationship. It's very much mutualism. One cannot survive without the other. And it's times like this that I'm just really happy to be a wrestling fan, because people are telling me, hey, have a look at this, and I'm like, no, I totally get it. You don't even have to show me this. I've made this comparison in my head before you did.
Hey, have a look at this. I've already seen this 2 years ago.
Yes, like when it actually happened. So I totally get it. So it's really, really funny to me. And I guess it had me thinking, what was the biggest heel turn in wrestling that everybody knows about?
By the way, UFC can also have wrestling to thank.
Yes.
For staying alive.
Yes, for saving the
main event.
You have a main event now. No thanks to Jon Jones, who pulled a Roman Reigns.
In a month.
Yeah, so...
this is the second or third time?
I think it's the third time.
Third time na? Yeah, Jesus Christ, what?
The third time na naudlot yung Cormier-Jones match, so...
No, but it's like a second
suspension.
Drug violation.
Yeah, it's probably second. I could be wrong, I don't follow the UFC, I just read this stuff. But pro wrestling, really, really, really big part of pop culture. But if there's a bigger heel turn in your head that you can think of, you have to let me know, because in my head, the biggest heel turn will probably either be Shawn Michaels turning on Marty Jannetty, followed by Hulk Hogan bash at the beach, and then siguro yung normal day or the current era would probably be Seth Rollins turning on the Shield. Like, wala na akong ibang maisip, to be very honest. Randy Orton being turned on by Evolution.
That's 10 years ago, and wasn't that big of a deal because his face turn was shit.
Okay.
Diba?
Wala akong maisip na iba eh. Like, these are the ones.
This generation?
Yeah, this generation. Or maybe even something that, that transcends wrestling. Na pag sinabi mo yung heel turn na yon, even non-fans would be like, oh yeah, I get that. That makes sense to me.
The screw job.
Ah, yeah, the screw job. Okay. So there. If there's something else that you can think of, let us know. We are on Twitter. It's at the SGP Podcast, at Rowisbar, and at _StanC, and at Caveman Camus, because he's gone again. All right. So we talked about wrestling and pop culture and basketball, and Ro here actually had an idea that he wanted to flesh out on the podcast, and it is a good mix of wrestling and basketball, if I do say so myself.
Right, so I was listening to the Stone Cold podcast, the recent one with AJ Styles, and Stone Cold was running down HBK's Wikipedia page.
Okay.
So, sinabi niya, you can wait to know what happened in the 90s that he had to retire because of his back injuries. And then he came back and then had a really, really great run for what? 8 years?
8 years,
Years, and then before finally retiring. It kind of reminded me of Michael Jordan's career trajectory. It was pretty much the same. Similarities, I guess HBK didn't really have the Wizard's face at all. Or whatever his appearances after his retirement could have been, the Wizard's face, if we can have that, or it could possibly be something that might happen in the future. And he comes back to actually wrestle. I'm not betting my money on that. But yeah, when I did hear Stone Cold run it down, I really did think there were parallelisms. So HBK is always in the running for the greatest of all time discussion, much like Jordan.
When you say Michael Jordan, kasi, you immediately assume he's the greatest of all time in basketball.
Yeah, he isn't.
It's an assumption that people just accept readily as a fact, right? Even though nobody's really declared it officially, which is fine. I can totally accept that. But in wrestling, it's so hard to really pin down who the greatest of all time is.
No, I think if you were to ask a lot of people, it would really be HBK.
Not Ric Flair.
I guess it depends on the generation you ask.
Yeah, because like, if it was a generation of somebody like, say, MDJ, who's like, what, a good 8-9 years older than us, he would probably say it's Ric Flair.
Hmm. If Classical Brian Leo were to say it, probably would be Ric Flair.
Yeah. So it's very different, but for our generation, like I guess your prototypical millennials, we'd probably be pointing at HBK as your Michael Jordan. So let's run with that. Let's run with that perspective. Now, Michael Jordan or Shawn Michaels is the Michael Jordan of pro wrestling. Who else is who, diba? Like when you said that, immediately what came to mind was Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes. Ric Flair is Magic Johnson. Dusty Rhodes is Larry Bird.
Dusty Rhodes is Larry Bird. Why?
Dusty Rhodes is Larry Bird because he's blue collar.
Really?
The Celtics were the blue-collar stars of the NBA in the 1980s.
Okay.
Yes. The Lakers were all flash, all hype, very Showtime, Hollywood. That was Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah, sure. No problem. Ric Flair.
So, and because Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes were the rivals, the Lakers and the Celtics, it only makes sense that Dusty Rhodes is Larry Bird. Both are country bumpkins. Both, in mga galing sa hirap na, they really worked hard and got to a point where they were successful and mainstream stars.
These people say, Dusty Rhodes could also be someone like Charles Barkley or something.
Only probably because of the slur, but not
and the weight.
And the weight, yeah, but no.
No.
Something that just came to mind. The Fabulous Freebirds would be your Bad Boys Pistons.
Sure.
So okay. If we're gonna, since sila yung magkaka generation, diba? Man, this is gonna be fun. Who else would you put in this discussion? If Triple H and Shawn Michaels, syempre sila yung magkabatch, diba? If Shawn Michaels was your Michael Jordan, Triple H has to be Scottie Pippen.
That would be the easiest argument to make, but it's also kind of simple, right?
It's too simple in the sense that Triple H has a very successful post-wrestling career, whereas Scottie does not.
Yeah, and I don't know, and Triple H has moved on and grown to be the number one guy. Scottie has never been the number one guy.
No, he never was. Yeah. But I guess pag career lang pag-uusapan, it's too easy to make, you know? I was thinking about Eddie Guerrero and who he would have been. And
I made the joke that Eddie would have been Len Bias, which
offended me.
Which offends me as well, because at least Eddie got to reach his potential.
I would say na Eddie is somebody like Pete Maravich or Drazen Petrovic.
Bahit.
Someone who's really, really good, but just for a short time and then they died. Like while they were
did
still active.
Did Pete die early?
Yes, he did die early. He died in 1980. Like Jesus I think it was supposed to have been his final season or some shit. And he died while practicing on the court.
Seriously, why?
His heart collapsed.
Jesus.
Drazen Petrovic, naman, on the other hand, he died while he was on vacation in somewhere in Europe, if not Germany, Croatia. He was asleep in the passenger seat and his girlfriend lost control of the vehicle and crashed and both of them died. So because of those untimely deaths, and while there are some untimely deaths in basketball, there haven't been a lot to huge stars.
Mm.
So that's why I would probably narrow it down to Petrovic or Pistol Pete. Sino si Chris Benoit, though?
Like,
who is the pariah of basketball?
The first name that comes to mind is what? Gilbert Arenas.
But hindi, Gilbert Arenas didn't...
Gilbert Arenas is just a goof. He's just a goofball.
Yeah.
That's all. He never fucked shit up in a major way.
No, he did not.
He did not.
Diba? Who else can you think of? Like, a huge name you can cross with. Who would Kevin Garnett be? Like dapat yung tipong galing sa someone who started off really, really young.
And Randy Orton.
Hindi, kasi Randy Orton comes from a blue chipper background. It's in a Cena.
Yeah, but he started really young. He was before Brock. He was like the youngest phenom.
If Kevin
actually, Garnett, he was younger than Brock, I think.
Yeah, he younger than Brock.
Yeah, yeah, he was younger than Brock. Oh,
because he was 24 when he won the world title, and by then Lesnar was like 26.
Oh,
pwede.
I would say Brock is like LeBron at this point.
Yeah, yeah, Brock would probably be LeBron.
Even though people have been saying that Cena is LeBron,
who would John Cena be if Brock was LeBron? Who would John Cena be?
Huh.
This is tough.
Hmm.
This comparison is tough. It has to be someone who is the face, then, obviously. Kobe Bryant, ba? No, eh. I wouldn't say
didn't
no. Didn't
we
Kobe.
Say? Didn't we agree on Cena being Kobe?
How?
Did we not?
No, I don't think we have. Because I think this is the first time we're actually comparing Cena to Kobe in either online or on the podcast.
No, we did compare Cena to LeBron.
Yes, yes. We've always agreed that Cena was LeBron, eh. But if Brock is LeBron, who would John Cena be? Because
What if Triple H was Kobe?
Oh.
Buds.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if HVK is Jordan.
Yeah.
And Jordan is old by the time he, you know, by the time HVK gave away, gave way, and then Kobe and Triple H started rising up.
Yeah.
So then it makes perfect sense that Triple H is Kobe.
Yeah.
Hated by most, but legit good.
And by the end of his career, everybody just loved
beloved,
Kobe.
Yeah.
Just like how now everybody just loves Triple H.
Oh. Yes.
I can live with that.
Yes.
Triple H is Kobe live with Bryant. That. Sure.
Sorry, guys.
I can live with that. Okay. Who would Shaq be? Shaq is this outsized goof. Really, really excellent. Really, really excellent, but he let himself go.
Kevin Nash.
Okay. Sure.
Kevin Nash is a champion.
Kevin Nash was a champion.
Oh.
He was champion for a year. Shaq was champion multiple times.
Yes.
If you have a LeBron...
But it took a while for him to be champion.
Cena.
Shaq and Kevin Nash.
Shaq, yeah. It took him 8 years. Kevin Nash, yeah, it took him a while.
Mm.
Who would Scott Hall be? Someone who was pretty good but didn't really make it all the way through. Na dapat kabatch ni Shaq kung ganun.
Make it all the way through.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Individually or as a part of a team? What?
I would probably say Allen Iverson.
Hmm.
Someone like Allen Iverson. Kasi yun mga magkakabatch, magkaka-era. Allen Iverson didn't exactly win a championship. People still revere him, though. So like he was like your upper mid-card basketball star. Diba? Who would be your Hulk Hogan?
Can we make a Chris Benoit comparison without drawing a parallel to his tragedy? Or is it really a part of him, a big part of him that is inseparable from his legend?
Is Chris Benoit ever going to be in the Hall of Fame?
No. That's not what the question was. The question was, can we assess Chris Benoit and make a comparison without touching on what happened?
I don't think we can. Why? That's why I had to ask that question. Because if forever na ma-associate kay Chris Benoit yung double murder suicide.
Kasi wala namang ganyan nangyari sa NBA.
Okay, the Chris Benoit story is kind of similar to Eddie's.
Sure.
Someone who was a journeyman and then found himself as a very successful guy later in his career.
He was more than a journeyman. I think he was, he was like a role player that people needed.
Okay. If it was a role player that people needed and then eventually had a late successful run.
Oh.
Chauncey Billups? Jeez. He's the first one that comes to mind, honestly.
Way to put the evil on Chauncey Billups.
Sorry, Chauncey. Or someone like Ben Wallace. Ganun din si Ben Wallace. Had parallel careers then. Like a role player who ended up, ascending to the top. They won the championships in the same year,
sure.
By the way, 2004.
Yeah.
So it makes sense in my head.
Jesus Christ.
Who would Hulk Hogan be?
Huh. Who is a pariah now in the NBA?
marami, actually. Pero mostly yung mga druggies. Mostly people like O.J. Mayo.
O.J. Mayo.
Because he got suspended. He didn't get suspended. He got taken out of the league.
We're still also running with Derrick Rose as Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
we're still running with this. Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Sino yung Edge and Christian mo? Kung ganun. Edge and Christian. No. Edge and Christian are Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady.
Ah, yeah, sure. I will live with this. I will live with this.
Yeah. That's your Edge and Christian. That was too easy.
So, obviously, T-Mac is Christian. Obviously.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of sad, though. Because inherently, neither McGrady nor Carter won a title.
Oh, right.
Pero Carter is still in the NBA.
Is that good?
Yes.
Where?
With Memphis.
Seriously?
Yes. He's still with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Jesus, what?
He's been playing for the Grizzlies, yeah, for the last year or two.
But it's lately then.
Yeah,
he came back from winter, right?
No, he never came back. Yes, he's been playing straight since 1998.
Well, this is new to what?
You've been totally out of this, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Yeah. No, I mean, like, I have been out of the loop with regards to Vince Carter's career.
Yeah, Vince Carter is still in the NBA. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, he's still playing one more year.
Well, T-Mac's in China.
They retired na siya. As in, he's effectively retired. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does analysis for Countdown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nung finals, he was there. Yeah. There are probably more comparisons that we haven't
made.
Why
is Vince Carter still playing?
Because he's in great shape. Kind of like how Ray Allen is still in great shape until now.
Okay.
You know, these guys, I'm surprised.
I want to think of someone to be the Reggie Miller of the WWE.
someone who kept plugging away but never really got there.
But he's great, though.
Yeah, yeah. Someone who was really, really... someone like what? Roddy Piper?
No.
Because Roddy Piper was really, really good, but he was never world champion.
Hmm. Okay, fine. I can deal with this.
Or if not Roddy Piper, Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah. Reggie Miller's a total face, man.
Yeah. Ricky Steamboat.
Mm.
Diba? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I know that Ricky Steamboat never won the world title.
No, he did not. Yeah. He was mostly an IC title guy.
So, yun. Someone like that.
Mm.
So, a bad guy who never really... Charles Barkley is your Roddy Piper.
Okay. Okay. Sige. I can live with this.
Because
yes.
Barkley was a heel then during his NBA run. He ran his mouth a lot. Really, really great talent, but never made it over the top.
Okay.
There. You know, they're not entirely accurate, but these are comparisons we can live with. And if there are any more that come to your mind, you have to help us out because this would actually be a fun
call. Sino I think Steph Curry.
The current Steph Curry?
Yeah. Have we figured this out? I think we have.
No, we haven't.
No,
yeah.
We have not?
No,
okay.
We have not.
Who could this be?
I don't want to say AJ Styles because AJ's
old.
AJ's old.
Yeah, AJ's old. AJ's more like Hanaba. AJ's more like a D-Wade to me. A D-Wade type.
Oy lang.
Yeah, a D-Wade type.
Something
along
those
lines.
Who is a young guy? It's not Ambrose because Ambrose isn't wholesome. It's not Roman Reigns either, but actually possible. Like
no, I would not put Roman Reigns as Steph Curry.
I would because of the backlash that set that to go Curry's way.
Yeah, but Steph did not get that much backlash as Roman did.
But he will once Durant and Curry start playing together.
No, I don't think so.
I think they will because now everybody's rooting against the Warriors.
No. It's someone who has to be insanely talented right now. I would say someone like a Will Ospreay is Steph Curry.
Pero hindi.
Pero he's not the face of WWE. Wala pang championship caliber.
Yeah. I don't think we have anyone in WWE right now kasi your main event scene is full of guys who are not Steph Curry.
Okay, fine.
So that's kind of hard. If Sami Zayn, though, were to go on some sort of Curry-esque run, I think he's your front runner to be your Steph Curry.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's Sami Zayn with the provisional asterisk. Yeah.
Okay. See, I can live with this. I can live with this.
Right. So
NXT lang yun.
Yeah, probably. I guess. Again, if you have any comparisons that you thought of, or if you have anyone to dispute, you can always send them our way on Twitter. This week, the reason why we spent a good, 15 minutes talking about basketball and wrestling, it probably is a testament to the amount of crappy wrestling we've seen this week. And... of course, Raw is a huge example of this. Like, Raw was probably the softest show this week.
Mm. And that's I didn't even bother to watch it.
I watched Raw.
Why?
I put myself through it.
Why?
Because.
Let's not talk about Raw. Let's just talk about the Final Deletion.
Fine. No, there is some stuff from Raw I want to talk about. But fine, let's talk about Final Deletion first. Final Deletion was something I watched to make myself feel better last night after Gilas lost against New Zealand. It was heartbreaking watching the Gilas run in the FIBA OQT. And after it all ended, I just trudged to my room, fired up the PS4, fired up the network, and I called my dad over. And I was like, Dad, I know you're pissed. I am too. So let's watch this shitty match and have some fun with it. So we watched Final Deletion.
It wasn't a shitty match by, you know, unintentionally. They were trying hard to make a good match, and then it just didn't come out right. It was really just a shitty match by design. I said they knew they were going to have to up the camp factor on this one. So they might as well go all out and make the shittiest but most entertaining match they could make.
What I found about Final Deletion was, you guys said it was a B movie, or it was B movie-esque. I think it was
even be a C movie. Jesus.
I thought it was full of cutscenes from a video game.
That's
what came to my head. Now, it was a really, really long-ass cutscene that made you go, what the flying fuck?
It's probably like, I guess it's not even like Lucha Underground. It's more like a wrestling match from a movie with wrestling.
Yeah. There's something about the absurdity of it, eh. Because we talked about this online, and we were saying things about how it was so absurd that it became so good.
Mm.
But I still can't. Hindi maatim ng sikmura ako na masabi na this is gonna be on Meltzer's all-time list.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course not.
It was just so silly, and you could kind of tell that Matt and Jeff were in on the joke.
I have to applaud Jeff's dedication to being a straight man.
Yes.
Is it? I don't know how, if I were in his shoes, I would not have broken character.
Yeah.
It's also absurd, and I have to give him props, because I normally hate on Jeff Hardy, but this was amazing. I don't know, because you can't tell if he was legitimately pissed or baffled at the fact that his brother has turned crazy, or he's actually playing the role well. So, and it's that confusion that makes me want to applaud him.
You know, the character portrayal or character development aside, the other things that just have to be mentioned are things like Jeff Hardy doing a swanton bomb from a tree, from the top of a tree, to Matt Hardy on a ladder. Tas hindi man lang niya natamaan eh, parang dumaplus lang eh.
Oh, it's harder to it's harder to gauge that one from a tree.
But it was so
stupid.
It was so stupid.
But it's not the worst swanton high spot I've ever seen from him.
And it wasn't the worst part of the match.
Yeah.
Like, there were fireworks involved. Yung mga Roman candle na sinisindihan, and they were being flown towards each other.
I do that shit every New Year's Eve.
The best part of the match for me was how Jeff Hardy, of all people, was the one to yell the words, "What the hell is wrong with you?"
Mm.
Like, that's how you know that the absurdity was really taken to the next level.
But no, he's been... No, I've seen him say something like that no contract signing, but... Like he was really questioning the whole sanity of this angle.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. He was speaking for the entire audience.
Yes, and the boat, the dilapidated boat,
the dilapidated boat. Oh my God!
I don't get it.
And there was a boat. No, was it a lake?
Yeah,
they were in
no,
a lake.
Na some beach sila.
Yeah, because they were probably like on some beachfront property? Okay, fine.
Or something. Kundiman lakefront, beachfront siya. But there was a body of water and
there was a boat.
And they were trying to choke each other out not long after that.
And then Willow showed up.
Yes.
Jesus.
And then
Willow.
And then Senor Benjamin, Matt Hardy's chihuahua, comes out to electrocute Willow with a taser. and then as soon as Willow gets unmasked, it's fucking Senor Benjamin. I don't get how that happened. I don't get the logic.
It's magic.
It's fucking insane.
Our friend MDJ is correct. We have to watch it with our heart. It's true. And you can't understand what we're talking about if you haven't seen the match yet. It is literally this week's required wrestling viewing.
Actually, yes. And if you happen to still have some supply from your dealer, in case your dealer was arrested, please use said supply and then watch it. Then you can watch it with your heart.
We would like to knock on wood and hope that your dealer is still alive.
But right? Like, if this came out nung 4:20, I think every wrestling fan with access to sandwiches would be consuming them while
and
watching the
you
match.
You know, I have to give all of them credit. Whoever thought of this, if it was Matt, if it was Jeff, if it was someone on the TNA creative team, I have to give them huge props because it worked.
Yeah.
You know, it pulled all the attention to TNA. And now WWE knows that it's not a Monday Night War for sure. Never will be. But WWE knows that TNA did something stupid, but in a good way. And now they have to up their game.
And I think we're probably going to get that in the form of New Day Wyatts.
Hopefully.
Because the Wyatts have challenged the New Day to enter their compound.
I think they knew that this was because of the Final Deletion. So they set it up and knew that they weren't going to top it this week. So
yeah.
They might as well do it next week.
And I'd like to see what they come up with. Because if you compare the inanity and the absurdity of Brother Nero versus Broken Matt Hardy, compare that or contrast that with New Day Wyatt. New Day Wyatt is actually a nuanced storyline. Like, it's a story that has layers in the sense na the New Day isn't acting as a solid unit anymore. You have Xavier Woods na unti-unti tumitiwalag. He's thinking for himself. He's thinking for himself, and he's the one who's actually questioning the logic of the New Day's actions. Mm. So he's playing the voice of reason despite the fact that in the past, he's always been the one to run his mouth.
Yeah.
He's like Enzo Amore. Siya yung maliit na mga alas ka. Mga alas ka siya, and then yung rest back niya, yun yung magsasave sa kanya.
Yep, yep.
Right?
And well, well, to be fair, Enzo can go.
Yeah, Enzo can, and so can Xavier. Pero very parallel yung roles nila. But it's nice na ngayon it's Kofi and Big E who are running their mouths, and Xavier's the one telling them that we really bit off more than we could chew. And he also makes that point very clear on SmackDown this week in the interview. Now he says he knows that it probably isn't the smartest move, but that he will stand by Kofi and Big E when they enter the compound.
Where is the compound anyway? Have we disclosed the location of the compound?
No, as far as I know, it's still part of parts unknown.
Somewhere in like Alabama or Louisiana.
I was actually thinking Louisiana. Because Bray Wyatt is very Louisiana. Right?
Yeah.
With his sure. his accent. May pagka-creole yung dating. Right. I would love to... You know what? I actually want the New Day to reference this. The fact that nobody knows where Bray Wyatt is from. Like, I want them to make a joke out of it. Because the New Day breaks the fourth wall a lot. Mm. And an act like the White family is the perfect act to break the fourth wall towards, or to break the fourth wall.
No, I don't
with.
Think so. I think if you break the fourth wall with the White family, you're gonna damage them. You say the part of the White family gimmick is a suspension of disbelief, and you need to be able to believe that Bray Wyatt can teleport and he can control the Titantron and the lighting of the arena. And that he has mystical powers that aren't quite like the Undertaker's, but still something to be, you know.
Okay.
Something to be afraid of, I guess.
All right, fine. I'll take that. But there's something to be said about the way that these promos are being written.
Mm.
And I bring this up because the crux of the conflict is positivity versus darkness.
Yeah, that is a nice theme to work around.
The light versus the darkness, they're really exploiting that. Kasi dati, very ironic yung approach ng New Day sa power of positivity.
Mm.
Like, they would espouse it, or they would try to run their mouth saying, we have the power of positivity, but they would cheat, they would be sore losers, they would be assholes in and out of the ring. But now that they've come to embody it because they're baby faces, you really see how they try to juxtapose this trio versus the New Day. Versus the Wyatt family.
Mm.
Instead of feeding off of positivity, they feed off fear. They feed off paranoia. They feed off all of these negative emotions. And dare I say that this is probably the first time na the Wyatt family has something concrete to go on. Because I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but Bray has always been speaking in highfalutin terms.
Mm, of course.
The concepts which he brings about it's hard to ground. But now it actually is grounded kasi they found a foil na sobrang swak lang talaga yung the raison d'etre or something. The reason for existence is they are the antithesis of one another. So it's really nice to see na they finally got something right with the Wyatts.
I just hope that they... Actually, I don't know who I want to win this feud. Guess it's easy to stay rooting for the New Day.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, we have to root for the Wyatts and push for them to be treated seriously.
No, let me ask you this. What is Bray Wyatt's signature win?
Ndapa.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why the Wyatts need this. Like, okay. I think it's not a question at all. The Wyatts have to win this. I don't want the New Day to split up just yet.
Mm.
But I want to set up the conflict with Xavier Woods.
Mm.
Like, I want him to question where he fits in the New Day. If the New Day are actually taking him seriously, if it's worth it to stick with his brothers, Kofi and Big E, that kind of thing. I want the tension to be established.
Mm.
So, no doubt in my mind, the Wyatts have to win this. That's the only way this story will be most satisfying.
Okay.
Right. Anything to add regarding
no,
this?
No, I still want to see where this goes, and I hope that this goes well for the Wyatts.
All right.
Do you think the Wyatts should win the championships from them? With who, Anna? Freebird rule then.
Yeah, Freebird rule then. I wouldn't mind because it would really psych out the New Day. Because they've been built to be invincible over the last year. So if you have the Wyatts take the titles from them, that would be a great way to expose the chink in the armor. And at the same time, yung problem lang at the same time is the Wyatts have never really cared for championships.
Uh-huh.
They're kind of like the Shield when they started out, and the Shield never cared for titles.
Right.
So I can go either way.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I can go either way. Let's stick to Raw and talk about this last thing that I want to mention, and that is John Cena now teaming up with Enzo and Big Cass to face AJ and the Club at Battleground. It was kind of nice seeing nobody save John Cena, because it was very cathartic for me as someone who's hated Scumbag Cena. We've talked about this at length over the last 3 years now. Whenever Cena would be partnered with another babyface, he would not save them in their time of need, but they would always save him.
Yeah, they would always save him.
Yeah. So it was nice to see it get drawn out a lot. And then major surprise, it was Enzo and Cass who actually came out to save John Cena, because they didn't seem like the type to give a shit. But they rationalized it on SmackDown this week.
Okay.
So they rationalized it by saying if we allow AJ and the Club to run roughshod over someone like John Cena, who's to say that they won't do the same to Enzo and to Big Cass? So that to me makes sense. Now you're standing up to a bully so that in the future he won't do that to you. It says a lot about creative direction. They're taking time out to flesh the characters now instead of just letting us assume now we know what these characters are about. Here's another great example that I'm sure you weren't able to catch. Sasha Banks.
Mm.
She finally told us all what the boss means.
Took her like a few months, less than a year.
But she finally told everyone.
I don't know what ibig sabihin ng boss.
The boss is someone who doesn't back down. The boss is someone who makes her own opportunity, who represents her crew, and even if her crew isn't there, will fight for herself.
Okay.
So that's the gist of the boss.
Okay.
So it's not something I would buy 100%, but at least it's something. Because if for the longest time, Sasha Banks would go out and say, I'm a legit boss, but what does that even mean?
No, she would just assume that people knew or the connotations now. Okay, I'm a boss. You know what a boss is. So
yeah.
I will not explain it to you.
But she finally did. And I thought it was a step in the right direction.
That's good. Yeah, it is. It is.
They're finally making... here's the thing with Sasha Banks. I said this last week. Becky is still a more compelling babyface than her. But now that we've established this is what Sasha Banks is, this is the meat of what it is to be the legit boss, it makes me think about how nagkakaroon na ng layers yung character niya. So now, if and when she challenges Charlotte for the women's championship, I have something to fall back on other than the fact that I have a crush on Sasha Banks.
Okay.
Right? Like, as a fan, there is something there for me. Enzo and Cass, going back to Enzo and Cass and how they're saving John Cena, you said na they did a switcheroo or a substitution move with this.
Yeah. Because, last month, I think it was Cena and the New Day feuding with the Club. Now it's just Enzo and Cass and Cena feuding with the Club.
But are you crying foul over this?
No.
Because
it's funny because apparently when you're Cena and then you're fighting a faction, yung kasama mo is like a revolving door of tag teams.
Or laging dapat may rest back. Like, why can't it be just Cena versus the Club as a whole, no? I'm actually happy for Enzo and Cass because I think that this benefits them as much as this benefits AJ, Gallows, and Anderson. Because Barry or not or whatever, it is still John Cena they're teaming up with.
Mm.
So
yeah, it's a big rub.
Yes,
definitely a big rub.
Huge rub, diba? So ayun, that's why I'm still kind of happy for Enzo and Cass. There's not much else to talk about on Raw other than the stupid food fight. Kevin Owens being the lone bright spot of that food fight. We have to talk about bracketology, though, because they ran that this week right after NXT.
Right, okay. Bracketology.
In case you didn't know, the Cruiserweight Classic finally released the full brackets, and they had a show earlier, a 48-minute special called Bracketology, where they broke it down.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, they broke it down, and it's basically like March Madness, diba? You have 32 guys facing each other off in single elimination matchups.
The funny thing is, without spoiling much, you can tell who wins in the first round.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
because there are some names that you have no idea who
they
are,
and then they're paired up with people who you know.
Yes,
and obviously, that's the thing. I'm gonna spoil a bit. There is no upset story.
Okay,
so all of the better known guys go over.
Okay, so we can probably say for certain that the Brian Kendrick will beat Raul Mendoza.
Yeah.
And Akira Tozawa is defeating Kenneth Johnson.
If anything, although I haven't seen any of the Cruiserweight Classic footage yet, it's just sad that they try to play it safe until, I guess some point. But it's largely very safe.
Okay, so I'm looking at the brackets right now, and it's easy to pick out a Final Four, diba?
Sure. Oh, I see.
If I were to pick a Final Four from the upper left category, or from the upper left bracket, I would probably have to go with Akira Tozawa. Tajiri at a close second.
Third round.
Okay. Pero feeling ko yung lalabas from this bracket is Akira Tozawa.
Sure.
From the lower left bracket, obviously it's ZSJ.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, and the matchup to watch will be the eventual second round matchup between ZSJ and Drew Gulak.
Mm.
Right? If you look at the upper third, the upper right bracket,
it's Kota Ibushi.
It's Kota Ibushi for sure.
And then the lower right quadrant,
yeah,
is most likely TJ Perkins.
No,
come on.
Hindi si Johnny Gargano?
No, no way.
No. I would put my look. I love TJ Perkins as much as you do, and I'm really supporting him. Pero realistically,
no. Look at this. TJ Perkins, the Mac, who is not Willie Mac. Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Mustafa Ali, Lince Dorado, Rich Swann, and Jason Lee. Oh, hi, let's pick out that now. Obviously, TJ is going over the Mac.
Sure.
I don't know who goes over Gargano, Ciampa.
I think it's Gargano.
That's the most in it. This is the most compelling matchup in the whole first round.
Which is weird.
I wish
they kept it for this third round or something.
That's why it's super safe. None of the local jobbers, the regional jobbers, get an upset. I'm telling you this now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're spoiled. Pero you're not going to miss anyone. And I'm guessing Lince Dorado wins against Mustafa Ali.
And Rich Swann defeats Jason Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So now you have a second round of TJ versus whoever wins Gargano Ciampa.
Yeah.
And Lince Dorado versus Rich Swann.
I think Rich Swann wins.
Obviously.
Para pag nag-debut siya sa NXT, he's a bigger deal.
Well, he has already debuted on NXT.
Or, you know, if he comes back to NXT regularly. So, okay. So, it's Rich Swann versus TJ / Gargano Ciampa.
Mm.
If it's TJ, no. I think he's going over Rich Swann.
Of course.
But if it's Gargano, one of Gargano or Ciampa, I think one of them go over Rich Swann. So, I think it's
obviously.
It's very dependent on the Gargano Ciampa matchup.
I don't think Gargano Ciampa go over TJ. It's just...
Why? Because of the underdog story that they've built for TJ?
And
because I'll let you know, the Bracketology spends 7-8 minutes putting TJ over, which is the most of any of the other guys.
Yes. And even then, you know, these two are not on the same level as TJ. I'm sorry. I mean, I love them, but they're not on the same level. So if we're going to play it safe, you might as well put him over.
Shit, that would be fun though. Kota Ibushi versus TJ Perkins.
Oh, tanga na. Doon ako mag-concede na, okay, di mo na nalas TJP.
Yeah, kasi Kota Ibushi is gonna... And it's not gonna be a Japan versus Japan. It's probably gonna be ZSJ versus Kota Ibushi.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Diba? Okay, so let's assume that it's Zack Sabre Jr. versus Ibushi.
Tajiri, though.
Tajiri is gonna stick around
after the CWC.
So is Brian Kendrick.
Yeah, probably.
Diba? And Brian Kendrick has been working with a performance
center. Basta, sino man yung final for... Sigurad ng sign na sila.
Wow, that's a bold proclamation.
Yeah, sure. Tajiri, you already have that.
Yeah.
TJ Perkins, I think, is going to wow the WWE enough to get signed.
God, I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Okay, so Ibushi versus Zack Sabre.
If he gets signed, he will be the first. Well, no, we have Chili Willy.
Yeah.
No, but...
In the modern era.
In the modern era, and legit signed.
Yeah.
I mean, Chili Willy never got to that point. I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah.
But he himself admits it.
So TJ Perkins will be the first SGP podcast guest to be signed to a WWE contract and to be an active wrestler.
Hmm.
Since having guested on the podcast.
Yes.
That would be groundbreaking.
And he will be our first legit WWE wrestler.
Yeah. from representing the Philippines. I don't think naman na if he goes to NXT or to the main roster, you know, na they'll start billing him again from LA.
Mm. No, I doubt it. They've already made the bed.
Yeah. So they've laid the foundation eh. If it's Zack Sabre Jr. versus Ibushi in the finals, who do you think takes this?
Could be anyone, really.
I think it's Ibushi just because it's sure signing.
I think it's also Ibushi, even though ZSJ is easier to market because he speaks English, for one. Ibushi has a better look and is more dynamic.
And he's more, I guess, like he has a bigger resume.
Hmm.
See, it's funny. When you watch Bracketology, you'll notice.
The thing I say with Zack Sabre is that he's still, for all his technical skills, he's still an acquired taste.
Yeah. And
meanwhile, you can watch Ibushi. You can plug and play with Ibushi.
Zack Sabre Jr. is actually younger than Ibushi, right? Mm. He's what? He's closer to our age.
Yes, yes.
Whereas Ibushi is 33.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like 32, 33.
Jesus Christ. I didn't know he was that old.
See, Zack Sabre Jr. has been wrestling for 10 years. So this is this assumes that he started wrestling at like 17, 18.
Yeah.
No? I think it's Ibushi's to win. And like I said kanina, if you watch Bracketology, matatawa ka na they profile Kota Ibushi for a good 3-4 minutes. Mm. And they dub over him.
What did they dub over? His
interview. Yeah. They dubbed over him. They literally dubbed over him. It's pretty funny.
They dubbed English over him?
Yes. So he starts off speaking
Funari.
No. Some American dubber. So they start off with him speaking in Japanese like for like 2 seconds, and then they fade it under, and then pinasok nila yung audio na English.
Ano Iron Chef shit yun eh.
It's pretty funny, yeah. So it was also pretty unsettling. But if you haven't seen it yet, kapansin-pansin talaga yung amount of time that they spent building up TJ Perkins. Because I called my dad over, and I was like, oh, dad, come in, you know, like, it's just going to be 3 minutes. And then we watch like a vignette that lasts 8 minutes plus an interview with Daniel Bryan and Mauro live.
I know.
Right there. So yeah, fine.
I think they're trying to condition viewers, although they don't need conditioning, that TJ Perkins could very well be, you know, a WWE signee.
Man.
They don't need conditioning though. I mean, he's good.
Yeah. He is legit.
Mm.
All right, so that's our bracketology. We'll probably come up with a piece that predicts the brackets on smarkhenry.ph.
Yes.
So please watch
probably
out for
weekend,
that.
Probably this weekend, hopefully.
Yeah, watch out for that. It's actually going to be the first time that I do something like this because I don't follow March Madness, so this will be fun. Last thing I want to talk about is Ultima Lucha 2, which started out this week. It's going to be running for 3 weeks again like it did last year, except we have four hours in total this year.
Yep.
So 1 hour this week, another hour next week, and then 2 weeks from now, it's going to be a 2-hour season finale. Now, this week, nagulat ako because like, okay, hindi ako nagulat na it was the forest for a unique opportunity.
No, wait. Let me cut you off right there. Let's talk about Ultima Lucha when it's all finished.
Okay.
Para ano? Para isang, ano,
isang pasada na?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But if you have to catch Lucha Underground this week, please do. Watch the entire thing. It's just one segment or like one thing that they build. Yun lang yung buong oras mo. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun. So do watch that. NXT was also pretty good this week. I'd like to say that they went back to their old formula. Just three matches,
three
solid segments, and the rest were mga promos and interviews.
Bahay na nga yung ano, yung the end of the beginning.
I hope so. Because if it is, then they're doing something right. The main event was really, really amazing. It was a 20-plus minute, 2 out of 3 falls match between American Alpha and The Revival. And no Authors of Pain shenanigans this time around. You had an opening match between Bayley and Alexa Bliss, which was also pretty good.
Have the Authors of Pain showed up at all after
after TakeOver?
Mm.
Yeah, they have. Okay. Like once or twice.
Okay.
But they haven't really spoken or anything. Paul Ellering has only said like one sentence about them.
No advancing the story.
They attacked both American Alpha and Gargano and Ciampa last week.
So they're just really attacking the faces.
Yes. Okay. So they're just attacking baby faces. And then the second match was the Hype Bros going up against Blake and Murphy. And then that's when Rhino came back.
Mm.
So Blake and Murphy were bickering. Rhino comes back and he destroys everyone save for Murphy, who cowers away in fear. So there. It was fun. There's something to be said about NXT keeping it fresh for a solid hour. Kasi dati, they would bombard you with these matches, like 5-6 matches in 1 hour, which can also be pretty tiring kasi you go through match per match per match without really advancing any storylines or any emotions, which is in stark contrast to what Lucha Underground did this week with that 1 hour. So I really hope now what they did this week with NXT is something that they can sustain again. Kasi that's when we'll know na NXT is not jumping the shark anymore.
I don't need NXT to stick to maximize 1 hour. I need them to have more time. Kasi you can maximize them for an hour for all you want, but the fact remains that they still have a huge roster that they need to take care of.
Kaya nga, nagugulat pa rin ako na even though it's their own network, NXT doesn't necessarily have a TV deal in the US, diba? I still don't get why they don't want to go 1.5 hours with this thing. I don't get it. Wala ka namang commercials, eh. You're not selling shit. You're not selling spots.
Still, they have to push their own merch.
Yeah, but you know,
merch, puro merch plugs yung commercial nila, diba?
Yeah, puro merch plugs yung commercials nila. Yeah. So, yun lang.
It's funny though, they actually have actual commercials before the programs start on the network.
Yes.
That's weird to me. So why not put these in the middle of the network shows?
I think kasi mawawala yung pagka-on-demand niya. Like, the reason you watch something on-demand.
Kung lalagay ka na rin man lang ng ad na totoo sa umpisa.
No, I think it's just really not the business model. Like, that's when you weird. Watch Netflix, when you watch iFlix.
I got it then.
Yeah, the commercials at the start.
You're right, yeah.
Diba?
Mapala na.
Because I used to watch iFlix, and the commercials would always be right before every episode. So, ganun din. That's the model talaga for on-demand content.
Okay, fine.
So, you know, you learn something new, right? New media and all that shit. It's pretty funny. Especially as someone who took up broadcasting. Anyway, picks of the week. Do you have a pick of the week?
No. I do not.
All right, my pick of the week, as tempting as it is to say in its final deletion, it is actually the 2 out of 3 falls match between American Alpha and The Revival. It was great. It was must-see. Two of the falls were actually via submission. And it wasn't yung tipong hokey submission na they just applied the finisher and then there was a tap out. No, they actually spent some time working the appendage involved and making sure that body part was weakened enough. So I as a fan of ring psychology, truly appreciated that. With that being said, if there's anything that we missed out on or that you want to be part of that we haven't talked about or that you just want to point out to us, feel free to do that on Twitter. It's at the SGP Podcast, at @RowIsWar, @_Stancy, and @CavemanCamus.
Who is not here?
Who is not here? We're planning to find a way to get that Charlotte interview out. Like, if they actually got to make it happen, we'll put it on the podcast. But for now, though, we're just really happy that she shouted us out. So huge thanks to our friends from Wilbros Live for making that happen, and our friends from Mellow 94.7 for putting us in a position to get there. And thank you to the PWR guys, by the way, who are coming out with another show on July 30. That's the last Saturday of the month. And if you aren't doing anything on July 30, or if you are doing something, reschedule that something, whatever that something is.
There's time to reschedule.
And set the date, July 30. Support local wrestling. And, you know, whether or not you're young, whether you're old, you know, be a hip tito like Mauro Ranallo for all I care. I want to share this on the podcast, by the way. Mauro Ranallo has totally internalized the role of Hip Tito. Like, when you watch him on SmackDown, almost every week, he will reference a very popular R&B/hip-hop track, and he makes... he's so self-aware about it that it's funny and entertaining. This week, he referenced Panda by Designer. Zack Ryder goes up to the top rope and delivers an elbow drop.
Actually, he's pretty full circle. Designer referenced wrestling.
Yes.
So, Mauro referenced Designer.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's full circle.
It is full circle. The line is, I am macho like Randy. So and you know that the elbow drop ni Zack Ryder is a macho man tribute, diba? So, sabi ni Mauro.
Elbow drop.
Look at Zack Ryder. A la Designer, the guy who sang Panda. He's macho like Randy. And I'm like, man.
And I bet and a King... picked on him for that one.
Hindi naman.
No, he did not.
See, a lot of these references actually fly over the King's head.
No, pero I know. he, you know, I would expect him to say, who the hell is designer?
No, wala, wala. He didn't say that. So, yeah, I just really love Mauro Ranallo with all my heart because of these, you know, hip Tito references and just the way he does his work. And he's officially my life peg right now. Anyway, on behalf of Ravishing Ro Moran and Roddy Raf Camus, who is indisposed, we got to call it a night. I think this is episode 121. We'll put this in the books. So, my name is Stunning Stancy, and we are out of here.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the SJP Podcast. To get more from the voice of the modern Filipino wrestling fan, go to www.smarkhenry.ph.